it's not on the agenda for the two-day meeting that we have scheduled is fair game. If you think the council needs to know about something or to consider something, this is your opportunity. Jim Kendall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This really doesn't affect any council actions or considerations, but I'd like to use this opportunity to let some of the industry people know of an important consideration that's out there. And I'm currently working with a client who's a British communication company, and they've actually brought back some issues that tend to forget over the years, particularly since I've been ashore so long. But communication cables, telephone cables on the ocean floor remain a constant problem, even though we tend to kind of dismiss it in today's attitude of satellites and satellite communication. I guess we tend to think that a lot of it is gone from the telephone cables and now is being handled by the satellites, as I referenced. However, that's not really the case. There's several new cables out there, and they're looking to inform the industry about this. We're putting together a program that would allow for an electronic chart overlay for their electronic chart programs. That'll be soon available. I actually have here now available some charts that would for MapTech that would actually be able to be put into the computer and used for that purpose, but it won't be an overlay as of yet. I also have some laminated charts, and we're looking to make these available to anyone that has an interest on it. So one of the things that needs to be remembered about these cables, they've changed somewhat in design, shape, and what we probably recognize as a communication cable. They're probably not much more than 2 inches in diameter now, whereas years ago they were much larger. So someone seeing this cable, if they bring it up, may not be too concerned, not thinking it's really a problem. However, some of these carry probably approximately 8,000 volts. So there definitely is an issue there. There are some procedures that they ask that the people do in case of a fetch-up on a cable, and a lot of it can be helpful to the industry if there is some gear loss. So if there is an interaction with this, it's not something that's punishable. They're just looking to find. If someone does have a hang-up on it, they would like to be notified so that they can actually pinpoint the area rather than have a real expensive proposition of trying to locate an area where the damage occurred. There's probably more cost associated with finding it than there is with fixing it. So, like I say, I'm willing to work with anybody that has any questions or issues on this, and I appreciate the council's time.
Thanks, Jim. Vito.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Vito Calum, Executive Director of the Massachusetts Fishery Recovery Commission, and I believe the open mic is a good idea to convey messages and to pass ideas that come from fishing industry. I'm going to convey a message that I received from several groups of fishermen that I work with, is to congratulate you again as being the chairman. They feel that you do a good job steering the ship, so congratulations again. I also want to convey that the Massachusetts Fishery Recovery Commission is dedicated to working with the recovery of all stocks. I work at S-mast and sea scallops. I work on lobsters. I work on ground fish. I work on tagging programs. Has been instrumental throughout the years. And a bigger point than that is that we advocate for the fishing industry. We advocate for the fishermen also. And to bring up a question that I had for you, Mr. Chairman, that's come back echoed to me many times. Since our Portland meeting was a request by me as the Executive Director of the Massachusetts Fishery Recovery Commission on consideration of a fisheries committee, a fisherman's committee. And again, I'm just bringing that to the forefront to ask you to please consider that again and see if we could bring that to some kind of conclusion, because I've had many people say that it was a real a good idea, and they thought that Senator Damon, actually, from Maine, asked me a week ago about it. Have I heard anything back from you? And I've said I've not approached you on it, but I wanted to bring it back in public notice because a lot of people are here, and they also read what transpired during these meetings, so I wanted to. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Vito. Just to let you know, that issue has been in the front of my mind, and we're entering into a period where we're going to possibly reassign committees and talk about how we do business here. And that's on the list.
I appreciate that, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience? For the benefit of the council, please remember to identify yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name's Tom Osmers. I represent the six towns and the fishing communities on Martha's Vineyard Island, and also represent the sovereign entity of the one tribe in America that every American celebrates once a year at Thanksgiving, the welcoming tribe of the Wampanoags that welcomed the European migration here. And, you know, did so readily share their fish and resources with them. Problems on the vineyard, of course, primarily related to lack of fish, whereby large vessels from larger ports, more highly efficient gear, roller gear, trawlers, gill netters, came and fished so extensively in the waters surrounding the vineyard and our traditional grounds that we pretty much lost access to the fish, and therefore it does not look like we will qualify under, I think, the eight alternative measures that you're considering, the 75, 25, the 50, 50 days at sea history, etc. I just would like to ask that, you have seven or eight alternatives. I mean, what's wrong with a ninth alternative that would somehow allow the continued participation and continued existence of smaller fishery communities that have depended upon the fisheries for several hundreds of years. And the vineyard fishery is primarily a hook and line fishery. At one time, we were amongst the top 10 ports in the Northeast. We do have a lot of problems. Our infrastructure is beginning to disappear. We still do have a stalwart crew of fishermen that look with hope towards the future, although the main stopping block to any future that we may enjoy is the regulatory atmosphere and the lack of fish. When I appeared at the meeting in Portland, Maine, I handed in as what I thought was a public record available to any and all that would inquire to have a copy of it, a DVD of, it's just a home video, of the 1990 cod fishery. It was a hook and line fishery. And I also gave in a DVD, it was about an hour and 10 minutes long, which is a long time, I know. You people spend a lot of time in these meetings going over these issues. But so far, I got a ride home to New Bedford from the last meeting with Big Rodney Avila, and I said, Rodney, did you get a chance to look at the tape? Did you see Big Louie Larson in there, or Captain Jimmy Morgan, or did you see Bob Flanders? No, we hadn't seen any of it. And it was my impression that every one of you people was going to get a copy of them tapes. And if you haven't, I wish that you would ask for it. Take the tape home with you, put your feet up, drink a bud or smoke a bud, and take a look at the life we had and see, better than I can say, see our leaders, our captains, see Big Louie Larson speak, see the three Mayhew brothers say their piece to what they think of things in the state of the fishery. I just want to say I'll be back. I'm not sure what our redress will be should we fail to somehow gain the necessary exemptions that we need to continue our participation in this fishery. I don't have anything against any of you people. I want to say thanks to the Coast Guard. I asked them, did you guys see the movies? Did you see the DVDs? They had. They were passing them around, going from one little batch of them at one base, or someone had them to another and stuff. I mean, I think they actually looked at them. I don't know if anyone else has. I just hope that before I come back to the next meeting, that maybe you will have taken a look at both of those testimonies, and that may do a better job of changing your guys' minds a little bit better than anything I'm going to say now. I probably talked, it says only speak for a few minutes. I wanted to record my remarks, but I don't know, you know, the NPR people gave me this recorder, but it doesn't really look like it has a plug that fits this other one. The movie that I made, it ain't perfect. The dates that kept coming up in the bottom right of the screen as I was shooting it, I didn't know what they were. I never use that kind of. It says 06 on it, but they were really made just in the couple days running up to the Portland meeting in 2007. You know, I had volunteer help. It was a plumber that done the editing. We're doing the best we can with the limited resources that we have, although we are starting to get some support and resources necessary to carry this fight to preserve our history to whatever extent is necessary. And I just want to say thanks again and let you guys, I'm on the board here, and I guess Big Rodney, he's still on the council, isn't he? Okay. Phil, is he all done? Is Phil, Rodney's in Alaska, and Phil, is he off now? Yeah, all right. I'm happy to see Mr. Blount back again, and I appreciate all you guys' help and consideration. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Anyone else? It's Libby.
Gary Libby, Mid-Coast Fishermen's Association, Port Clyde, Maine. I just would like to let all the council know that in Port Clyde, we've received money from our state for a working waterfront fund to help build us a new wharf so the groundfish boats can take out there. So any alternatives you guys can add in to help us through our days at sea dilemma would be greatly appreciated. And we're trying to rebuild our infrastructure up there, and hopefully we'll be successful. Thanks for the consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Libby. Anyone else? Okay, we'll break for lunch. Back at 1:30 for a presentation on the draft amendment 2 to consolidated HMS FMP.